So my biggest fear is there's going to be snakes in the toilet.
We're all afraid of that one strange thing. I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new short 10-minute podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. We unpack where these fears come from.
A rat climbed into my toilet.
And learn how to manage them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
That's right. It is Zach Yelp Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Yogi Roth is going to join us up 20 minutes from now. We'll chat a little Pac-12 football, college football, tell you who's in, who's out at the end of the year in the college football playoff, and who's going to win the Heisman Trophy. We're coming to you live, as always, from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage could help you get there for home loan solutions that fit your life well. Rocket can. Hickey, you got some music for me? I feel like we need some football music here because we're about to talk about people's jobs and how many coaches could potentially be getting fired. Panthers open, the Indianapolis Colts open, Steve Wilks, the interim head coach, and then Jeff Saturday, 1-0, the lone undefeated coach in the NFL this year. I see you guys are hyping that up a little bit. That's how you've been promoting that podcast of yours this week.
Raise the banner.
Oh, yeah.
Raise the banner.
You can't kid about that, you Colts fans.
What do you mean I can't kid? Absolutely,
you guys raise like banners for just breathing.
Exactly right. So winning as head coach in Colts history, winning as head coach in NFL history. Raise it.
Pathetic.
Let's go. Especially before they lose to the Eagles. And then it's there, you
pathetic.
Know, there goes that record.
Yeah, Jim Irsay. Will he be doing, if they lose to the Eagles, he could be doing a video. I'm so happy what happened. You can't hear him. Right outside of the jet. Is he going to be releasing a video now each and every week or only when his team wins?
Well, the good news is if you want to a video this week, since they're at home, I'm assuming there's no private jet.
Oh, that's true.
So that means no jet engines blaring.
But yeah, but he probably helicopter somewhere after the game or something like
probably
that.
Probably order one in
some
just to go to the
island.
Airport, crank it up, and then just do the video and then go home.
Yeah, you can't do videos anymore if you're Jim Irsay. Unless if it's in front of a private jet at this point. Because no one can even hear what the guy's saying. It's his brand. Like, your brand's Hot Take Kicky, Jim Irsay's brand is putting out videos in front of a jet when no one could actually hear what you're saying.
I'm shocked he didn't fire Frank Reich that way. Like, just release a video in front of the plane. We have come to the decision to fire Frank Reich.
Yeah, I just can't understand it. Wouldn't shock me. All right, what do we got here? Let's go. Give me the job. Give me the team. And I'll tell you on a scale 1 to 10. 1, their seat's freezing cold. 10, their seat's on fire.
Let's start with a layup here. Nathaniel Hackett.
9.5.
So you're saying there's a chance.
I expect him to get fired. I don't think they're even going to win this weekend to the Raiders. I don't think there's hope there. I just don't know enough about this new ownership group and what's going to happen with them being in Denver. So that's why I give a 0.5% chance of maybe him coming back. But I think it's almost a lock that he's donezo.
Can I even ask you about Josh McDaniels at this point?
Yeah.
Like, is it worth even putting him on the
yes.
meter? Okay, Josh McDaniels.
This is going to seem crazy, but it's a 4. And I think 4 may be high because the report that came out today is something that I've been saying for the last 2 weeks. And Hickey's like, no, McIdiot, McDoofus, you got to fire him. I hate the guy, so I'm not going to listen. Blah, 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 blah. Because that's what you do. When you get so stubborn about things, you dig your heels in so deep, and then when someone brings up a valid point, you're just like, well, that's what I think. That's what I think. That's what I'm saying. You think what you're thinking, I'm thinking what I'm thinking. And you don't even have a conversation about it. But, as I told you, Mark Davis may be looking at the soup kitchen next week for some of these reports because right now, they're not in a good financial spot. And I know they settled with Gruden, but you're paying him. Are you really going to pay two coaches not to coach the team and then a third coach who actually will be coaching the team? No, I really do think McDaniels will be back. I'll put it at a 4, And maybe that number being so high is just to appease Raiders fans.
Four because Mark Davis is too poor?
Pretty much.
How about Lovie Smith?
By the way, didn't I have a great breakdown of you when it comes to
No,
McDaniels?
I would disagree.
You were laughing.
It's logic. It just makes sense.
But here's
and if you're
thing.
Too poor, then bring
I
someone else
I
and they can
as
afford
naive
it.
As you. Like, I would love to be as naive as you. You just think what is right is what's going to happen. You don't think about the finances. You don't think about the dirty part of this business. You don't think about the money part of this. You don't do that for college football. And you don't do that when it comes to the NFL as well.
Let me tell you this. I would never be the commissioner of the NFL because those owners would not appreciate the truth I'm about to bring.
They would hate you. If Jerry Jones wants to fight Roger Goodell and not give him a contract extension, you would have no shot.
Dan Snyder, see you later. Mark Davis, you're too poor. Get out of here. It would be the day of reckoning would come. That is for sure. Speaking of which, day of reckoning, how about Lovie Smith? What's his hot seat meter?
3. He's not the long-term answer. Can you fire back-to-back coaches, first-year head coaches, though, in back-to-back years? I would say no. No one, when they hired him, thought he was the guy. No one and Lovie Smith's been a good coach in this league. But when they made that hire, everyone was like, what? Who said no? Oh, you couldn't hire Brian Flores because he's suing the league. You wanted to hire Josh McCown, but the optics of it would have looked bad, so you didn't do that, and you passed once again, and Josh McCown's still not coaching anywhere on his staff this year, so he even knows if he actually wants to coach or if he just wants to waltz right into a head coaching job. I would think he's back for year number two, but year number two will be his last year.
How about Matt LaFleur in Green Bay?
2. I think the only way, and I said this a few weeks back, the only way that Matt LaFleur is not back next year is if Aaron Rodgers pouts at the end of the year and he goes, guys, it's either me and you get screwed with my dead cap hit, I retire, or you get rid of Matt LaFleur. I would think, though, a guy that went 13-3, 13-3, 13-3, and he is overrated because he has Rodgers, and this year doesn't have all those answers because they don't have Davante Adams anymore, and Rodgers isn't playing that great. I would be surprised if he's not back. The only way he's going to be out, because Gutekunst likes him a lot, is if Aaron Rodgers forces that hand. So I'll put it, I said 2. I'll go minimal. 1.
All righty. How about Dennis Allen with the Saints?
It should be like an 8. Because that team, I know they've been injured, but it makes no sense that they're starting Andy Dalton. Like, did you see what he said about Jameis Winston today? He's never going to be 100% this year, but he's healthy enough to practice, and he's healthy enough to be the backup. That's one thing, Ryan, that I never get about the NFL, where a guy could be healthy enough to be active, he could be healthy enough to be a backup, and I get it, like a one-time thing, emergency situation, you don't prefer to play him, but at this rate, if I'm Jameis Winston, even if I'm 75%, 80%, I'm saying, bleep this, get me on the field. Because at least it's an opportunity, and you don't want to see any more of Andy Dalton. Like, Jameis must be horrible in practice. Or Dennis Allen just can't stand Jameis Winston.
That's true. I don't know. I don't know which one's more true. Actually, both probably could be true.
I would say, because that's not an attractive job right now. And he's through 1 year. He's been in that organization for a while. Is he the long-term answer? Absolutely not. You haven't seen, like, a hit piece come out, so we don't know if there's a lot of, like, drama going on in that locker room. I would say a 3. But if it was up to me, I'd get rid of him and find an actual good head coach.
How about another first-year head coach, Todd Bowles?
1. The only way that guy's out is if Brady says, oh, yeah, I actually want to come back. But then get Todd Bowles out, where Brady may have already forced Bruce Arians out. I think they go with Todd Bowles for another year. And I don't think Brady's back next year, but he's not on the hot seat right now.
How about Cliff Kingsbury? What's his meter at?
6. I think there's a chance he gets fired at the end of the year. And I would not have said that a few weeks ago just because of the contract. And maybe the financials do factor in here and they give him another year. And I could see them at the end of the year saying, oh, the first 6 games of the season, we didn't have DeAndre Hopkins. Now you lose Zach Ertz with an injury. There could be some excuses there. But if you don't win some games down the stretch, Michael Bidwell may have to hold his nose, even though he just extended Kime and Kingsbury through 2027 and cut the fat. But I think it's at a 6.
How about Mike McCarthy?
Oh, that's a good one. this is going to be unfair because he has coached well so far this season and lost Dak Prescott for a few weeks and only had one loss with Cooper Rush. It's going to be the same number as Cliff Kingsbury, 6. Because for McCarthy, there's not really much he could do in the regular season that could win you over. Last year, he won over so many people in the regular season. Wow, look at the Cowboys. The Cowboys were at times being called the great team. And in the postseason, he admitted after that game and the loss to the 49ers, his team wasn't ready to go. He sensed nervousness from his team. And they couldn't execute the final play, which was horrible. They couldn't get the snap off in the final, 12 or 13 seconds, whatever it was. I would say it's a 6, and it's not because of anything he's done this year. It's just my lack of belief in the Dallas Cowboys, even in a wide-open NFC this year, probably getting to an NFC championship game. Because I think he needs to get to an NFC championship game to be back, or you'll have Sean Payton if he wants the job, or Dan Quinn maybe as the head coach next year.
What is Brandon Staley's hot seat meter at?
I did hack it was a 9.5, right?
Yes. In 0.5 chance
now
for next
cheap
year.
Owners.
Spanos, like Mark Davis.
I would say 7. Because that team still has everything right in front of them. I could see them making the playoffs, and I think they'll make the playoffs. And they make the playoffs, he's probably safe. But if Sean Payton says, I want that job, and you look at all the potential jobs that are open, that could be open. The two right now, Indy and Carolina. I know they have to work out a trade with the Saints too. You then look at Denver. You look at a job like the Chargers being open. The Cardinals. The Chargers are the most attractive because Justin Herbert's good. Austin Eckler's a stud. Keenan Allen, if he's healthy, is really good. Mike Williams is really good. And you got a lot of talent on the defensive side of the ball. So if Sean snaps his fingers and reports are that he would love to get that Chargers job and says, I want that job, even if Staley makes the playoffs, if it's not convincing, if it's not like leaps and bounds, wow, this guy really showed us he could be the guy, especially with his peculiar approach when it comes to going for situations deep in his own territory, I do think the Sean Payton and his own incompetence of one Brandon Staley could do him in.
Two more here. How about Kevin Stefanski? Is he in the hot seat at all?
Ooh, that's a great one. I would put it at like a 3. I don't think so. I think he gets 1 year of Deshaun Watson. Now Watson clearly has a ton of power, which is like crazy to think, but he does. And if he doesn't like Stefanski down the stretch, maybe that number could go up. But I would think if we're talking about what's fair here, he has not done a good job this year, but you're starting Jacoby Brissett. They didn't go out and trade for Jimmy G to weather the storm. I would think that Stefanski gets at least a full year with Deshaun Watson. But since you gave him that guaranteed contract, Deshaun Watson, and he's now back in the facility and able to practice and comes back in week 13 because they have that bye week in week 12, I think. If the final few weeks of the season, Watson at the end goes up to the Haslams and goes up to the general manager and says, yeah, Andrew Berry, I don't really like Stefanski, then Stefanski could be in trouble, but I think he'll be back next year. But so I put it at like a 3.
And finally, how about Dan Campbell?
I think the last 2 weeks saved him. Beating the Bears, more importantly, beating the Packers. Not high expectations to begin with. You've never had a franchise quarterback with the Detroit Lions. The players are believing in him. They play tough for him. They're just not ready to win consistently. But when you're able to go beat a Green Bay who's having a down year and the Bears are up by 14, you come back at Soldier Field in the fourth quarter, I think that little win streak, as long as you find a way to win another game or two, keeps you safe. So if you would have asked me this a few weeks ago, I'd probably say it's like 50-50. But now I probably knock it down a few pegs and like put out like a 2 or 3. So that's the hot seat meter right now as we're about to enter week 11 in the National Football League. College football playoff rankings came out last night. Georgia 1, Ohio State 2, Michigan 3, TCU 4, Tennessee 5, LSU 6, USC 7, Can USC be a one-loss Pac-12 champion in the college football playoff? We'll also recap the bad performance by Oregon against Washington, the controversial Dan Lanning decision, and UCLA not showing up against Arizona last week as well. And we'll go around college football Heisman Trophy with, of course, coming up next, Yogi Roth on the Zach Gelb Show. Don't go anywhere. Back in five.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball.
A fear you can't shake.
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. You can think of Riley Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Sometimes you could have a thought on a game, and then you see the spread, and you go, ooh, that's not the way that I expected it to go down. This weekend, and I know that they were doubted last week, where Texas was a 7.5-point favorite against TCU. I don't know. Have you seen the number yet, Hickey? Because I have the number on TCU Baylor. Have you seen what the number is yet in that one?
I have not, no.
If you had to take a guess, TCU going to McLean Stadium in Waco, Texas, what do you think the spread is? TCU Baylor.
What do you think the spread is? I would say TCU minus 5.
It's TCU minus 2.5. So that's once again Vegas trying to tell you we don't really love TCU. But that's what we said last week. Oh, yeah, it makes no sense that Texas is a 7.5-point favorite. And then the next thing you know, a lot of people are minus to the 7, 7.5, and then TCU wins that game. And the other spread that I think you need to really look at is the USC game, too, because USC now is the pick in the Pac-12, right? If you want to have a chance to go to the college football playoff, you're going to need USC to be a one-loss Pac-12 champ. UCLA, coming off the loss last week, they're a 2.5-point dog against USC. So I could see UCLA winning this weekend. I would probably plus the points. And for TCU, see, I bet against them last week, so I'm not going to bet against them this week. I'll probably lay the 2.5. Let's go out to the hotline right now. New college football playoff rankings out. We'll chat some Pac-12, do everything around the landscape of college football with Yogi Roth. Yogi, appreciate the time as always. How you been?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. Let me start you off last week with Oregon, Washington. First off, a great victory for Kalen DeBoer in year number one with the Huskies. But the Dan Lanning decision to go for it on his 34-yard line, 4th-and-1 with under 90 seconds to go. In the moment, I didn't like it. How about yourself? I know it didn't work out for him.
Yeah, you know, in the moment, I was calling a game, and then I had to go back and watch it, you know, the next day in terms of the context of the game flow. And I think, you know, he kind of referenced afterwards, like, there were some calls that or decisions he would have back. I think probably want to use a timeout there instead. I often wondered, like, was it an automatic give? Meaning, like, Ty Thompson, who was the quarterback at the time, like, did he have the option to pull it? Because if he did, it's a walk for a first down. But I think overall for me, having tracked this team, that's their DNA. Like, they are going to live aggressive. So, I don't know, if they got it, we'd be applauding what a decision, kind of like we did the onside kick against UCLA. Or other fourth downs where he's gone for it in the season, and we didn't, we light him up, or you know, can criticize. But I'm down when teams lean on their DNA throughout the entirety of the season and kind of live and die by it. But I think that Dan Lanning, as we track his young career as a head coach moving forward, as he gets to those types of situations, I'm sure we'll see a variance of calls by him.
This weekend, USC has UCLA. USC is the lone hope for the Pac-12 to still get into the college football playoff. They were ranked 7th by the committee last night. How do you think that game will play on out?
Man, I can't wait. I mean, packed house, over 16,000 students will be at the Rose Bowl for UCLA. And they're going to get the best of UCLA coming off a loss. I'm stoked for the Trojans because, you know, number one, what a turnaround under Lincoln Riley. And then when you look at their path, I think we've seen, you know, them get lit up regarding, like, hey, they haven't necessarily beaten anybody other than Oregon State, who's a ranked team. And I understand that. But if they're able to beat UCLA, able to beat a ranked Notre Dame, and then beat possibly Oregon or avenge a game against Utah, or who knows how the title game will shake out, I think they've got an incredible argument to get in the playoff when you just look at the style in which their one loss was, 1 point on the road. And they're going to be healthy in this one, right? Sounds like Eric Gentry, their all-everything middle linebacker, will be back, who I think impacts the game more than anybody, a middle linebacker in college football at 6'6" with a 7'6" and a quarter-inch wingspan. It sounds like Jordan Addison, Mara Williams will be back at full strength. So it'll be best on best, and I can't wait because you got two of the most dynamic offenses in the country.
Now, you're talking about the case that USC has. What do you think needs to go right for them to get in? Because I kind of think last night the committee kind of showed you once again they're leaning towards putting a one-loss Tennessee team in because, you know, either Ohio State or Michigan's going to lose next week.
Yeah, I'm not that worried about it in that situation that you described. I've done a mock committee selection before where you fly to Dallas and you sit on the committee. You know, in the year that I did it, I got to pretend I was the chair, who at the time was Rob Mullins, the athletic director at Oregon. And you learn that they really value wins versus, you know, did you value losses? And I think for USC, to the point of what they have in front of them versus two not ranked teams that Tennessee has, they're going to have, at the end of the year, just more quality wins. And they, when it's close, they value either comparative outcomes. So clearly Tennessee and SC haven't played each other. And they value strength of record, and they value conference championships in no specific order. And 9 conference games, Rice has a chance to even make it into a bowl game. Fresno State is tops in their division right now in the Mountain West. Like, SC, I think, has a good enough argument, especially when you look at, if you do value losses, a 1-point loss on the road versus Tennessee getting rolled by Georgia, that's a reality. You know, so I just think when it comes down to it, the committee is going to value 9 conference games and a conference championship versus just an SEC conference that we often give the benefit of the doubt to.
For TCU, you have Baylor and Iowa State still up, and then the Big 12 championship game. Do you think they'll be undefeated when it's all said and done?
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of hope not, just because it give a cleaner path for the Pac-12. But I'm also a big Sonny Dykes guy. You know, he was at Cal. He was incredible to us, offered such great access. And you look at his quarterback, Max, like, what a story of resiliency for him, just hanging in there over the years. So I'd like to see him. I'd like it to often, you know, be as challenging as possible on the committee. And for Sonny, I'd like to see him get that done. Like, he's clearly one of the leaders in the clubhouse for Coach of the Year in all of college football. So I don't know. I kind of go both ways. Like, as long as the Pac-12 gets in, if TCU is undefeated, perfect. But if there's a debate there, I'm not about it. And let's see if Pac school get in.
Talking to Yogi Roth right now. Hey, circling back on UCLA, Chip Kelly's done a really good job with that program right now. At 8-2, the last two seasons, we started to see some results. We know that they're off to the Big Ten along with USC in a few years. How would you kind of describe Chip Kelly right now as a head football coach?
You know, at times I felt like, you know, I've been on an island defending him, but I'm a huge fan, and I think, you know, to your point, a lot of people are seeing that now. You know, it was a total rebuild in his way when he took over from Jim Mora, right? He was, you know, he valued a different type of culture, a different type of team. Like, every head coach usually does, and you saw a lot of, you know, atrophy on that roster. You know, year one, when they're playing SC, I think they had 48 scholarship players available at the end of the year, right? They're rolling in with a full 85. This weekend, for the most part, in that rivalry game. So I think it just has taken him time to build, and I think it's a great lesson for, you know, even ADs around the country of, like, the rebuild, yes, can happen suitably overnight to certain programs because of the portal now, but when you're really building a culture, and he has to do that, you got to do it with great purpose. You look at the people he's brought in the portal, they've only missed on one. Like, there's only one guy that they got in the transfer portal that didn't start, right, ended up transferring again. Like, he nailed it, and he's taking guys from Alabama, from Notre Dame, from, you know, Harvard, from really sick Duke, really successful programs, Michigan and Zach Charbonnet, and I think he's just got a way about him. You know, he may not, you know, win the recruiting battle and, you know, be that team that's lauded in an early signing day of having the number one class and star rankings, but every player that they bring into that program fits the DNA of it. And I think that, to me, is showing this season for him and his team. And they got a huge stage on Saturday to put themselves in a position to go to Las Vegas for the title and, you know, quite possibly play at home in the actual Rose Bowl in a matter of, what, 40-some days or so.
Was he ever close to getting that Oregon job this offseason? Because that was always a hot rumor that was out there.
Yeah, you know, I don't know, to be quite honest with you. I know this. I'd imagine all UCLA fans are excited that he didn't,
yeah,
or he chose to remain UCLA, and glad he got the extension that he did, because I thought it was warranted. When you really got to get underneath the belly of that beast and see how he was building it, and his team's really about books and ball. Like, they got over 20 guys in grad school. I mean, you're not just going there to, you know, take basket weaving and play football. Like, he's really into the development of his players. And I think that's an incredible model in this era of college football, because less than 2% make it to the NFL. Like, you're going to have a job someday. And I love how Chip has really leaned into that narrative within his program.
Have you heard anything about the Arizona State job, Yogi Roth?
I hear a lot about the Arizona State job, to be quite honest with you. I'm curious to see which way they go, right? There's the Kenny Dillingham name, who's often being referenced with that. I think he would thrive there. He's a guy who grew up in that community, would love to have that job, I'm sure. I look at guys like Brent Brennan at San Jose State, began his coaching career in Tucson at Arizona under Dick Tomey, who was recruited in the Pac-12, coached in the Pac-12, and done a hell of a job at San Jose State, which not many head coaches can say. They've done a hell of a job at San Jose State. So I'd be curious where they net out. I will say this, that with USC and UCLA seemingly departing the Pac-12, I think if you are a West Coast athlete and you want a metropolitan community with warm weather, there's one school, right, and that's Arizona State. So I think they got a great opportunity in front of them. And it's often described as like a sleeping giant. I think it actually can do that as the playoff expands. And I'm looking forward to seeing which direction they go in after the Herm Edwards era.
I feel like when it gets to the Heisman Trophy, Yogi Roth, the winner of the Ohio State-Michigan game, if it's Ohio State, it's going to be C.J. Stroud. If it's Michigan, it's going to be Blake Corum. But then you look at another name, like Caleb Williams, definitely in that conversation as well. If USC can be the Pac-12 champs, how do you kind of evaluate the Heisman lay of the land a few weeks out?
Well, I'll say this to my fellow voters, is let's not do what happened in 2015. In 2015, Christian McCaffrey should have won the Heisman. He went for over 400 total yards in the Pac-12 title game. The problem was, man, and you may be aware of this, is that 15% of the voters voted prior to that game. So I think right now we sit
here. It drives me nuts. Like, I really think the system should be, once the games end, you just go online, you have a password and everything, and then that's when you vote, not a few weeks before.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know. Are you a voter, too?
No, I'm not.
Got it. So, yeah, we get this link, and I'm always like, why are they even sending it? Just send it Saturday night at midnight or whenever the last game ends, and you can avoid this entire thing, and you force people to watch. Because I say that of, like, I'm going to Washington this weekend. I'm calling the UW game, and you referenced their win over Oregon. Michael Penix Jr. is leading the nation in passing. If they win their next two games, which they could, and if they get some help, they might play in the Pac-12 title game. Like, they might play with, you know, there's a way with a bunch of losses and a bunch of ties with two losses in the Pac-12. And if he has that stage, shouldn't we be talking about the nation's leading passer who NFL teams continue to ask me about? Like, I just say that of, like, we have these front runners, and then we pick them apart all season long, and then we think we have our finalists here in mid-November, and it's like, well, you play a whole season for a reason. Like, let guys play, whether it's Dorian on the West Coast, whether it's Caleb on the West Coast, whether it's Bo Nix. Like, Bo Nix had a hell of a game.
Yeah.
He just didn't win. I mean, they had almost 600 yards of offense.
And if he was healthy, you know, too, it may have been different.
Yeah, so I go back to the definition of the award. The definition of the award is not best team, best player. The definition is excellence with integrity and which player displays that. So maybe I'm just on an island, but I've talked to a bunch of voters that I think, you know, feel the same way. And hopefully all of us just wait until the games end. But Caleb, to your point, is 100% in the dialogue. If I had to take one player today on my team to lead me in a huge game, I'd take him out of all the guys in America. And there's a ton of talent. CJ, Bryce, Bo, you know, Drake. There's a bunch of elite players, but haven't seen every snap of Caleb this season. He's just a unique dude.
What is it for you? Because I think a lot of people would say Bryce Young. What is the separation there from Caleb Williams to Bryce Young, in your opinion?
I mean, you could flip a coin for both of them, you know, to be honest with you. I've known Bryce and Caleb since they were in high school with the Elite 11, and I think Bryce is, you know, I often comp him to Steph Curry, kind of a point guard, just dealing, dishing. Like, he's got a way about him, a feel in the pocket. Clearly has played and thrived on big stages. I think Caleb, same deal. You know, like, you look at him, different body structure, body type, a little bit, you know, thicker of a quarterback in that regard. But I mean, both of these guys, I think, are going to lead NFL franchises. So I'd be fine if you gave me either one of them. But to me, for Caleb, like, I think you've got to, you know, I do at least. I value kind of when the chips are stacked against him. No Jordan Addison, no Mario Williams, now no Travis Dye. Didn't have his best defensive player the last three games. He's just said, all right, come on my back. Come on, just jump on. I got you. He's just done that time and time again. Like, he's truly, to me, shown those type of unique traits. So that's why I choose him.
Last thing I'll ask you, Yogi Roth, I just want to get your thoughts on Drake May, because I was talking to Mac Brown 2 weeks ago, and that's probably should be another guy that's a Heisman Trophy finalist in Drake May. And Mac said, you're waiting all year for a freshman to have a freshman moment, and you mean that in not a good way, and he just hasn't had that. He's really had a sensational year.
Yeah, he's been fun to watch, man. And I love just what that program has done and, you know, what Coach Brown stands for. You know, I think he's, and he said it, I think over the summer, he said college football is about two things, the players and the fans. And I think often in college football, we talk about so many other things, right? Whether it's the playoff or media rights deals or all these things. Sometimes we can forget the players and we can forget the fans. And I just think when you can play for a guy that totally gets it, has been around the block, like, he allows you to play free. And that's what I see when I watch Drake May play, just a guy who's competing really free, really confident. And part of that, to me, is clearly instilled by his head coach.
Yogi Roth, great to catch up with you. Appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
All right, bro. Later.
There is Yogi Roth joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll come on back with a news brief.
What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball.
A fear you can't shake.
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Give us a call right now, 855-212-4CBS. Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Ron, you did it. Taylor Heinicke announced as the starting quarterback for this week for the Washington Commanders. We are Commanders. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 against the Houston Texans.
Carson has been cleared to start throwing. We haven't designated him for return yet to practice. He was working on the side. He's working down on the field with the training staff today. But again, he wasn't designated for return. So we will start Taylor this week.
Oh, man. I didn't hear that announcement yet. I just saw that, oh, Taylor Heineke's a starting quarterback. Hickey, you know what that is when he says it that way. That is, we got to be careful. We got to put on the floaties on Carson Wentz and deal with them with delicate care. Because if we annoy Carson Wentz with how sensitive he is, he'll quit on us and he'll be a malcontent in that locker room.
Which, if that actually happens, again, you're the coach and you don't want to just kind of alienate one player that you traded a lot for and the owner really likes. But, I mean, if Carson Wentz gets put out.
Wait, hold on. This is the same coach that a few weeks ago said the quarterback basically sucked. The very difference true. In the NFC East play was quarterback.
He said that and then walked it back and got very emotional. That Thursday night
that
after
fake outrage. Because Carson was probably in his office. What are you doing, coach? Where? Stop.
He knows. He knows which QB to play.
Yeah. Let's play a little game here. When will Carson Wentz start next for the Commanders? They play the Texans this weekend. You know, Taylor Ham Heineke's starting. The next week, it's the Falcons.
And you got to think the Commanders will win this week, so you can't bench Heineke after a win. Okay. Team would revolt. They'd be 5-5, right, at that point?
They're 5-5 right now.
You can't bench Taylor Heineke at 6-5.
After the Falcons game, they play the Giants.
Don't hate the matchup for Commanders. Chase Young's getting healthy. I think they would have Heineke there playing.
Bye week, coming out of the bye, Giants again.
Start him once, and then you can start him again.
San Francisco.
That could be ugly, but I think you could blame a lot of places for quarterback for that loss.
Browns.
And Heineke.
Last game of the year, Cowboys. Are you saying Taylor Ham Heineke is going to be the starting quarterback for the rest of the season for the We Are Commanders? Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
Barring injury, I think so. This team likes him too much. I think there'd be a revolt if they say Carson Wentz is a starter.
Well, that's if Heineke continues to win.
This team gravitates towards him. He's not exactly playing great either.
They do. They like him. Even going back to that playoff game against Tampa a few years ago where Chase Young was pointing to the back of his uniform, this is our guy. Put some respect on his name. You know me. There's nothing more in the world that I would like to see than Taylor Ham Heineke be the starter for the rest of the year. I'm not ready to go there. I'm week by week. I'm in the week by week conversation. He deserves to start this week. We'll see if he deserves to start next week. Now, I'll tell you this. I'll place a wager on the Commanders -3 points this week. Taylor Ham Heineke, you better not let me down. You let me down, I'll be calling for Carson Wentz.
I was just going to say, we're going to start Monday's show with Carson Wentz needs to start.
Who do you think feels worse about themselves right now? Carson Wentz or Baker Mayfield? Like, now Baker's starting this week, but he was benched. Well, he got hurt, and then P.J. Walker kept that job for a while, then P.J. Walker got hurt. So it didn't look like he was getting his job back in Baker Mayfield. Is it a more what the bleep moment for Baker Mayfield that he had to wait to get his job back and at least get that opportunity? Or is it Carson, who's probably ready to come back, but now they're going to delay it and make some phony excuse because Taylor Ham Heineke is happening?
I would say Wentz, because this is now the third time he is going to get either the boot or get passed over.
Okay. Ron Rivera on if Carson Wentz could serve as the backup on Sunday.
We'll see how it goes, you know, but again, the one thing is, you know, you want to get him, if that's going to be the case, you want him to get back and be the backup. He's got to get prepared and get ready for it. So as of right now, you know, we'll listen to what the trainers tell me tonight or tomorrow.
So this isn't necessarily your, I told the team decision that this, like, you're right. Just kind of punting it another
right.
Week.
To your question, yes.
Yeah.
It's not yet.
Ron Rivera also says Taylor Ham Heineke playing well makes it easier to ease Carson Wentz back.
We have time. I mean, that's the really good thing that this is on our side. I mean, he's done some good things, and we'll see how it happens this week. But, you know, to me, it's part of having to make a decision. I mean, you got to be realistic. You got to watch and you got to see. And that's what we've been doing. We've been paying attention to it. We've been paying attention not just an individual but as much as it affects a unit and a team. And so, you know, having this situation is a pretty good one. It's a good problem to have.
Yeah, he's being careful with every word that he says. Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee show says beating the Cowboys alleviated some concerns with this team.
we've been dealing with a lot of frustration, and obviously I'm sure there's been a ton of criticism outside the locker room, and some guys probably read that shit and take it to heart maybe more than other guys, and it's nice to quiet that down a little bit, I'm sure. For us, it's just a confidence builder, you know, that we're not out of this thing. This thing is not over. We're not scheduling off-season plans yet.
Yeah, you could say that now. You got to then go win on Thursday. If you lose on Thursday to Tennessee, all the air gets let out of that balloon. Baker Mayfield on his goal now that he is the starter again for the Carolina Panthers.
I expect to win. I expect to go out there and do everything I possibly can to put us in a position to win and do it at a very, very high level. I don't think there's much to it. That's what I expect out of myself. That's what I expect out of our group, too.
Next up, we have the Broncos and the Raiders this weekend. What a wonderful matchup that is. You're going to be glued to that matchup, right, Hickey?
Locked in. Can't wait.
Now, this is Nathaniel Hackett describing the offenses. Is that good of an audio clip?
I think it's pretty funny.
Yeah, because I'm looking at that. I haven't heard it yet, and I go, that sounds like a funny audio clip. Here's Nathaniel Hackett describing his horrible offense.
It's not a good one. It hasn't been a very successful offense, and we have a lot of things that we want to get better at, and we want to be sure that we continue those opportunities for the guys and continually get better options for the guys. And for us right now, a lot of improvement to be able to gain that identity.
Really? Has there ever been a coach that sounds more in over his head than Nathaniel Hackett? He sounds lost. What's the identity of your offense? Yeah, not a good one, and we're hoping to improve it.
I actually respect the honesty. I think he's more lost if he's saying we're one play away, just, you know, whether it's the balance of the football or the health, you know, we're so close, guys, I promise you. He's like, we have no identity. It's a bad identity.
We suck.
We need a lot of work to get back to the identity we want to have. I will give him credit. He's honest.
Yeah, but when you can't even describe your offense, that's not good. But you're right. He is honest, and he's basically saying, yeah, guys, like, I know it, you know it, we all know it. I'm a dead man walking. We suck. Like, that's pretty much what he said. Ay, ay, ay. I haven't heard this one either. Courtesy of Inside the NFL, Saquon Barkley in the huddle on Sunday mentions Daniel Jones' new nickname. So he's no longer Danny Dimes, is what you're telling me? Go ahead.
If I break a long one, I better see Vanilla Vic down there.
All right, I got you.
Did he say Vanilla Vic?
Vanilla Vic.
I like that better than Danny Dimes. Danny Dimes seemed real cheesy. Vanilla Vic, that's a good one. Nice job there out of Saquon Barkley. Maybe they actually have humor at Penn State. They teach that. That humor
always
class.
Always a shot. Always
that,
a shot.
That humor class did not rub off on you, any of that knowledge. I'll tell you that.
Well, I know I'm not funny, so I don't try to.
College football playoff chair Boo Corrigan discusses why the committee has ranked USC number 7, this courtesy of ESPN.
You know, they've continued to win games. They have the one loss at Utah in a two-point conversion. I believe it was 43-42 in a really emotional game, if you remember back to that game at Utah. And again, that's the one loss that they have, the one blemish they have. They got the win over Oregon State. And have continued to win, continued offensively, scoring 40-plus points a game, having over 500 yards a game, and that really drove the day for them to be number 7.
So, Hickey, if it's all about winning, shouldn't USC then be in front of LSU just for starters? Because LSU has 8 wins and USC has 9 wins.
I mean, you would think, according to their own criteria, yes. But because the committee makes no sense and they change it by the week? No.
For USC to get in, this is what's going to have to happen. They're going to have to, A, win the Pac-12 championship, one loss Pac-12 champs. They're going to need TCU to lose. Because I think Tennessee is getting in. The winner of Ohio State, Michigan gets in. Georgia gets in. If TCU doesn't lose, there's not a spot. If TCU does lose, then there's a spot open for USC. So that's what I think is the road, but you always have the big brand of USC, and sometimes the eye test gets used. And watch, the committee will say, oh, yeah, they were 7th, but then the eye test, we further evaluated them, and then we elevated them into the conversation. You never know with the College Football Playoff Committee.
What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or opossums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
So my biggest fear is there's going to be snakes in the toilet.
We're all afraid of that one strange thing. I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new short 10-minute podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. We unpack where these fears come from.
A rat climbed into my toilet.
And learn how to manage them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.